Hello! Welcome to the Christogenia Euro Forum, the Christogenia European Fellowship Forum. Praise Yahweh! Today is Thursday, April 5th, 2012. This one really snuck up on me. The last European Fellowship Forum was 3 weeks ago, and this one still seemed a long way off when this morning rolled around. I'm going to present one of my shorter essays today. I wrote this a year and a half ago. If I ever did it in a podcast before or on a program, I apologize. I don't remember doing it, and I can't find it. And I was sort of surprised that I hadn't done it. And it needs to be done. And then I have a few contemporary topics to discuss after this. This is a paper I wrote August of 2010, called "What is the World?" And this is a this word "world" is a highly abused word by those who take a universalist position of Scripture, and they love to take this word and apply it to the planet and everybody in it, and that's an abuse. That's not a definition. That's not what the Greeks ever had in mind. There are three Greek words which appear in the New Testament, which are commonly translated as "world" in English. These three words are aion or eon, which is where we get the English word eon, a long period of time, cosmos, and oikoumene. It has become very important to the doctrines of mainstream so-called Christian churches that whenever these words appear and are translated as "world," that they are understood to mean the entire planet and everything or everyone on it. However, that was certainly not the case to the ancient Greeks, and it is the meaning of these words to Greek readers in the first century which should govern how Christians understand them, because that's the way they were used. For the modern conception of the word is surely alien to any ideas which the Greeks themselves had when the New Testament was written. Here, each of those three words shall be discussed. The first word, aion or eon, Strong's number 165, is a period of existence. One's lifetime, a life, an age, a generation, a long space of time, a definite space of time, an era, an epoch, an age, a period. Hence its usage in plural, eis, tous, aionas, meaning forever. That quote is, that definition is from Liddell and Scott's Greek English lexicon. The related word, aionios, Strong's number 166, means lasting for an age, everlasting or eternal, depending on the context. According to Strong's concordance, these words were rendered world or worlds a total of 42 times in the King James Version of the Bible. While the word "world" has meanings which transcend its ordinary spatial sense, and as we shall see further on, the original meaning of the term was indeed temporal and not spatial, the general perception of the word's meaning today is certainly spatial. That's the way people understand it when you use it in colloquial language, and not temporal. Rendering aion and aionios, or eon and aionios, which always have a temporal sense in Greek, as world, which today is most often perceived with a spatial sense in English, can create serious misconceptions in the interpretation of Scripture. The second word to be discussed is cosmos, Strong's number 2889. Cosmos appears approximately 182 times in the New Testament, with 85% of those occurrences being in John and Paul, according to Moulton Geddon's Concordance to the Greek Testament. The related verb cosmeo, Strong's number 2885, is to order, to arrange, to deck, adorn, equip, furnish, or dress. Liddell and Scott define cosmos as order, good behavior, decency, the form, the fashion of a thing, and of states, order, and government. Additionally, it's an ornament, a decoration, an embellishment, a dress. As a substantive, it could be a regulator, something that regulates. And finally, it could be the world or universe, and this is according to Liddell and Scott, the world or universe from its perfect order, mankind, as we use the world in the NT, according to Liddell and Scott. And they had some churchianity in their definitions also. This last definition, where Liddell and Scott show how the various New Testament translators and commentators perceive the term's usage there, certainly deserves further scrutiny. First, of the other words translated world in the King James Version, Ahion and Ahionius are literally age and lasting foreign age. These are temporal. They are not spatial terms. They don't describe the planet. They describe a length of time. And that in itself may give further insight into the flexibility of the definition of the word world in the King James translators' minds, the original translators' minds, not today's interpreters, especially since the original meaning, what once the original meaning of the word world itself is examined. Second, there is another word translated world that does indeed explicitly refer to a geographic area, and that word is oikoumene. Once we understand what oikoumene means, then perhaps we can understand what cosmos means in the manner that the Greeks understood it. Liddell and Scott define oikoumene, which appears in the New Testament only approximately 15 times, as the inhabited world, a term used to designate the Greek world, as opposed to barbarian lands. This is Liddell and Scott. So in Roman times, it meant the Roman world. Strabo, the geographer, who died about 25 AD, and therefore had written not long before Paul wrote, described the oikoumene in his 17-book geography. It included practically all of the lands inhabited by the white races. And not only the Romans, but the Parthians, the Scythians, other white tribes of Asia, and all of northern Africa, which was at this time white, predominantly. Theodorus Siculus, writing about 40 BC, referred to the lands about India as the limits of the inhabited world, tais oikoumenes, in his Library of History in Book 1, Chapter 19. This was the oikoumene, the physical world which the race of Adam inhabited. And we see that in Deuteronomy 32:8, which says that when Yahweh divided the lands amongst the descendants of Adam, he left the boundaries of those lands according to the number of the children of Israel. That is the world, that Adamic world, those Adamic nations are those nations which Paul refers to in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, where he refers to that same thing, where he hearkens to Deuteronomy 32:8, and he says that it was God who separated the Adamic nations They all came from one, from one forefather, meaning Adam. He separated the Adamic nations and determined their boundaries and the times of their existence, the times of their duration. That is the physical world. In spite of the fact that Strabo and Diodorus and other Greek writers knew very well of lands inhabited by alien tribes, both in Africa to the south and far off to the east of India, and those lands were not considered a part of the Oikoumene. And since they were not a part of the Oikoumene, neither could they be included in the Greek idea of the cosmos, the order of Greek world, the order of Greek society. And that's why I often define it society. It should be quite evident that if the Oikoumene was the portion of the physical world inhabited by Adamic man, and we have in the use of the word Oikoumene in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, where it clearly denotes only the Roman portion of that, because Caesar was said to have gone out and taxed the whole world, the whole Oikoumene. And of course, Caesar didn't tax anybody outside the boundaries of Roman society. If the Oikoumene was the portion of the physical world inhabited by Adamic man, then the cosmos, the word cosmos, describes the order, the decorum, and the arrangement, as the word means, literally, of the Oikoumene. While the Oikoumene was the physical world, the cosmos was its society and its embellishment. Of course, the heavenly bodies were considered by the Greeks and Romans to be only another part of that embellishment. And those heavenly bodies were much more a part of the Greek and Roman world than we perceive them to be a part of our world today. Support for this idea is that cosmos, that the idea that cosmos is society, is found in archaeological journals and articles, including the May-June 2004 issue of Archaeology Odyssey, where this same idea is presented on page 26 in an article entitled "Is Homer Historical?" by Gregory Nagy. And while I can't agree with all of the author's opinions concerning Homer and his writings, the definition of cosmos found on page 31 of that issue is a good one, where he explains that to the Spartans, the cosmos was the sum total of their government and their social order. The cosmos was their society. That's how the Greeks used the word later on. In the Hellenic world, it described Hellenic society. In the Roman world, it described Roman society. You can't take the world outside of those bounds and apply it to what you want to apply it to. If the Greek-speaking apostles applied the word speaking to Greeks in the manner in which they understood it, it has to be limited to the white Greco-Roman world. This is certainly a far departure from the universalist theologian's view of the world as the planet and everyone in it, which is surely not an accurate view when it's compared with the ancient texts. Yet, by necessity, in the biblical context, I must understand the word to refer to the society in the sense of Adamic society. Anything more or less is intellectually dishonest. Interpreting scripture, like interpreting any other archaic writing, one cannot honestly change the meaning of a word as it was used by its original authors and presume to understand the original message. Now, to take all of this a step further, it may very well be that the way in which the King James Version translators understood the word world is itself quite different than how we understand the word today. If we investigate the word world in the American Heritage College Dictionary 3rd edition, we find that it's derived from an Old and Middle English word. We are old, Weorold, as they have the Middle English spelling. And for that, we are referred to an entry for a supposed Proto-Indo-European word, Wiro, W-I-R-O, in their appendix of Indo-European roots. When we check this entry, we find ultimately that the word world comes from the Germanic word wer, which is akin to the Latin word vir for man. And we find that word wer in other Germanic words, the wergild, or the price of a man, and the Germanic word ald, which is a life or an age. Were ald is the root of our word world. And from that Germanic world, from that Germanic word ald, which is a life or an age, we get our modern English word old. That put together, the word world means only the age of man. The old of were old, world, the age of man. Therefore, originally, world is a temporal term and not a spatial term. It means to refer to our Adamic age, and it does not mean everyone and everything on the planet or the planet itself. It's very likely that the King James translators back in 1611 understood the word world as these original English speakers of the Middle Ages understood it to mean the age of man. They understood it temporally, and had no problem translating it in that manner. However, the meaning of the word since then has been distorted heavily. Our confusion over the meaning of this word has led us into total confusion when attempting to understand our own literature, especially our Bibles. Why do we let Satan publish dictionaries? The world is the age of Adamic man, and it should be nothing else, because it is only the white Adamic nations, which Yahweh our God concerned himself with throughout our Bible, as evidenced in Genesis chapter 10, in Deuteronomy chapter 32:8, in Luke 2 verse 1, and in Acts chapter 17:26, and throughout the Bible. And our universalist missionaries have attempted to extend the biblical world to all the other races, something that the Bible does not at all call for, that they really pervert and corrupt the original meanings of the Greek words, which referred to the nations of the oikoumene of that time, who were to receive the gospel. And they pervert that and corrupt it and take it well beyond the bounds of its original meaning. The oikoumene is the physical world where Adam kind dwelt, whether they be Greek or Roman or whatever period of our history we were in. Daniel the prophet, interpreting the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, told Nebuchadnezzar that he would rule wheresoever the children of Adam dwell. We should never take our idea of our Adamic world beyond the bounds of our Adamic race, no matter where we live. The other races, that they might be in our world now because we put them there, but they are certainly not a part of our Bible, our scripture, our heritage, and they're not a part of the righteous world that we should have under God. The cosmos is the order, the decorum, the society is the best way to translate the word cosmos, which is why it is usually society in the Christogenean New Testament. It's the only word which can completely encapsulate the way that the Greeks understood the word cosmos to mean. It was the order of their oikoumene. You have the Adamic living space, which is the oikoumene, and cosmos is the order, the arrangement of that oikoumene. It's society. That's the best definition for the word. And of course, an eon is an age, as it is throughout the Christogenean New Testament. So that's why I translate those words in the manner that I have, and I will continue to translate them in that manner, because that's the way the ancient Greeks understood them. So that's what the world is in the Bible. It's the white Adamic world that's defined in Deuteronomy chapter 32:8. And we should never take the biblical idea of world beyond that. We should never do that, because then we're perverting the scripture. It's that simple.